start your day in the Torah with Rabbi Shmuel Goldberg.
Good morning, all. Very nice that you participate so early in the morning. You hear there's such good shiurim, and we will try to say something. You are all knowledgeable people, so it's not chidushim which I'm going to say, but still, we always aim to end by some medish below chidush. In the Haftorah, which we're going to learn tomorrow, it's from Yirmiyah. And Yirmiyah was in a very sad position. He had to go and communicate with Klal Yisrael about all the bad things that are going to happen if they don't behave. But we don't end off a section without saying some Divrei Nechama. And at the end of the Haftorah, which is actually from the next chapter, it said the famous Pasuk, which everyone knows. Zocharti loch chesed ne'urayich ahavas kluloi soyich. Hashem says, I remember the kindness of your youth, ahavas, the love, kluloi soyich, of your chasana, kluloi soyich is the notion of chasana, Lechtech acharai ba'midbar, following me after me in the midbar, be'eretz loy zeruah. So Yirmiyah Novi portrays the situation which Klal Yisrael went through. They were in Mitzrayim. It wasn't very pleasant in Mitzrayim, to say the least. But they had accommodation, they had food, and it was a pleasant place, Gan Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim. In fact, there were people who didn't want to leave. It was a bit of a Nisoyan, a test. It's not a bit, a great Nisoyan. Because they had everything, and now where you're telling them to go? To a desert which has no facilities, natural facilities. And where are we going? Why should we go there? And that is deemed as a chesed on the part of Klal Yisrael. Certainly according to one pshat in the Novi. Why is that a chesed? And if it is a chesed, Hashem needs a chesed? You're kind to Hashem? What does that mean? So, as you know, this is a question which you could ask in other circumstances as well. For example, we make brochas. Baruch ato Hashem. What do you mean? Hashem needs a brocha? In tzodakto matiten loy, you don't give anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chas v'sholim, a person does harm, he doesn't harm to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the pshat? So it's well known, the Sefer HaChinuch mentions it, that in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oylom chesed yibone. Hashem created this world to give us chesed. The full term of chesed is that we should be comfortable in this world. Okay, Hashem had a reason in order that we should get Olam Haba, but our koponim is considered chesed from his part. What about our part? So the Chinuch explains, Hashem wants to shower brachas upon us. So how does, but why doesn't he do it automatically? Ki Adam ayin lavod es Adamo, Rashi says in Bereshis, Hashem wanted to see that the person should ask me, and then I will give you what you need. So therefore, when the, as it were, the tank up there is full for rain, for example, it's full of water. So why doesn't it come down automatically? It's waiting for us to say something. What do we say? We say a brocha. Baruch Atah Hashem, according to the Pshat, that we are, you are the Makor HaBrochos, you are the source of brochas, and we recognize this by making a brocha. So therefore, when we make a brocha, we are enabling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tap to be opened. Till now, it is closed, call it temporarily if you want, but after we make a brocha, that enables HaKadosh Baruch Hu to shower his brochas upon us. And that's why the Chazal say, if a person neglects to make a bracha, it's ki'ilu geizel avivimo in Knesset Yisrael. It's stealing. Well, if I don't make a bracha, why am I stealing? So, we know the Gemara says that there is a contradiction, a paradox. On one hand, it says, Lashem ha'aretz umlaya. And on the other hand, it says, Ve'or nosan livnei odom. So the Gemara says, how can that be? Kan kodem brocha, kan la'acha brocha. It depends. Before you make a brocha, it's all Hashem's. Once you make a brocha, it changes. It changes, it becomes yours. That's your kinyan, if you like. That's your acquisition. That's your heter to be able to partake of whatever you are making a brocha on. Therefore, when we say that we are doing chesed, what are we doing? We are showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you are the Mekor HaChesed, you are the source of kindness, we recognize this, and by doing chesed, we are enabling HaKadosh Baruch Hu to repay us. As it would say, Mido Keneged Mido. The same as we do chesed, so also HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed with us. Zachartilo lo chesed nouraich. I remember, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I recall your youth. It was an Nisoyen, it was a test. But you overcame the test. And you came out to the Midbar. And you went through, and you came to Matan Torah, that's Avas Kelulei Soyich. And that gave you the chizuk, lechtech akrei b'midbar. Now, the point of chesed is an interesting one. We all know this. The question is how we practice it. I looked in the Pele Yoyetz, the famous Pele Yoyetz. He is the one who wrote on all in an order of Aleph Beis various topics. And I looked up the topic of chesed. And he says as follows. There is no limit to what a person can do in chesed. He says, people go out of their way to become a tzaddik, they go out of their way to enhance mitzvahs, which at best is only a hiddur. It's not a din, you have to be a tzaddik. All right, there has to be a tzaddik, but that's not a din. And therefore, it's very nice, very good. But what people neglect, I'm not saying this, he is saying this. People don't realize that chesed can be done in a very simple way. When you open the door for somebody, you're doing a chesed min haTorah. If you change somebody's money, nowadays there's not many coins around, so it's a big mitzvah to help somebody if he needs it. Or to give him something, to hand him something. It's all these actions which people sort of say, that's nothing. On the contrary, he says, those small actions are tremendous mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, proper mitzvahs. And you can do it easily without any money. You don't need money for that. You don't need anything at all. Standing up for an elderly person, for Daltopane Zokei, all these things can be done by every single person in all circumstances. That is the chesed which is expected from us. A person may have money in his house, his righteousness lasts forever. If you lend people goods in our community, if somebody makes a sheva bracha, he goes to his next door neighbor, can you lend a table, can you lend chairs? Obviously it must be the type of person that you expect to get it back in one piece. Otherwise it's not such an obligation to spoil your furniture or to spoil your goods. But having said that, the average person will get it back, and will get it back quite soon. And therefore, it is a mitzvah min haTorah to do that chesed. We mentioned chesed because it says so in the Haftarah. That's correct. But there's another thing. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And we are very upset in the 3 weeks, especially we concentrate on that. The first point I want to mention is I found people ask all sorts of questions, shaylas, about the 3 weeks. What can I do? What can I not do? And I tell them the following. It's true, there are certain exceptions when you have to do something or not. But the focus is missing. The focus of the 3 weeks to know what it's all about. It's not just a technical thing. I can't do this and I can't do that. It's an indication that we missed something. We've lost something. And we are upset about it. You know, there is a minhag that certainly in the 3 weeks before benching, when those days when we do say tachnun, then it's not considered a yom tov of any sort. We say before benching al naharas bovel. I don't know if anyone does it, but I certainly try myself later to say it. Al naharas bovel. What's written in al naharas bovel? So it tells you the scene, it portrays the scene that when we came into Golas Bovel, Shom Yoshavnu, Gambochinu, we cried, Bezochreinu Essir. And what happened? So the Chazal tell us that the Goyim, Nebuchadnezzar, heard about the Levim, who were specially expert in music. Real good music. And it lifts up the soul. I don't know what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to lift up his soul, but he liked the music. So he said to the Levim, Shiru lonu mishir tzion. Come on, join me, sing, play, in the way that you did in Beis HaMikdash. So the Chazal say, the Levim said to themselves, what? We should abuse our qualities of music, our capabilities of music, and use it for this person who is not going to do it in the proper way, doesn't want it for Shem Shemaim in any sort. What did they do? They hurt their fingers, they broke the knuckles or whatever it was they broke in such a way that they were physically unable to play the music. That was the excuse which they could give, that they hadn't got it. But it doesn't say only that. It says, Al arovim besoicha tolinu kinoi reisenu. We hang our kinnor, which is the harp, or whatever you translate it, on arovos. Arovos are willow trees. What's the significance of where they hung their music? So the Maggid of Yerushalayim, he was called Reb Shapsi Yudelevich. He said, it means this. You know from Sukkos that the arovos is something is ein by tam ve ein by reach. It's got no taste and it's got no odor. That's exactly what the situation is here. If we were to play the music for this person, it would have no tam and no reach. It would have no. It would be useless or more than useless. So what did we do? We hung it as it were on the arovos. That showed, well, it was in the beginning of the Churban, that showed how much they felt the loss of the Beis HaMikdash and the consequences. Rav Shapsi Yudelevich, I looked it up here, says that people don't always understand what the Beis HaMikdash was for us. For example, he doesn't say this, but for example, in Parshas Pinchas, which is this week's Sedra, a lot of the Sedra is taken up with korbonos. And obviously, the Beis HaMikdash had lots of korbonos every single day. And that's one of the things that we lost. We didn't have, we weren't able to offer up korbonos anymore. That is a loss. But he says there are some people who don't appreciate this loss. And he says, he tells an incident that he was present at in Me'er Sha'arim, in Yerushalayim. what happens? We went the night reading the Sefer of Eicha. Megillas Eicha. All of a sudden, you know, it was a bit free and easy those days. It didn't have a guard at the door. A whole party of people walked in. And they looked around and they see people sitting on the floor with a mournful tune. And they say, what's going on here? What's this? What's this all about? Well, anyone who knows a bit understood straight away. So I volunteered to answer. I don't know what language he must have spoken to them in. Maybe they understood Yiddish, maybe they didn't. But he spoke to them. And I told them that a few thousand years ago, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And that's why Jewish people all over the world are still upset and mourn for this Beis HaMikdash. Pardon? They didn't understand. They said, tell me, why is this Beis HaMikdash? They didn't know. So I quickly have explained to them, it was a temple. Americans understand the word temple. Oh, a temple. So what happened to it? It was burnt. This is a true story. He said, the fellow said to him, did you have an insurance policy? So he said, no. So one of them said, next time insure it. And they went out. That was their total understanding of the situation. Okay, it's a bit extreme. I don't know whether everyone in England would be the same. It could be, I don't know. But there's certainly, that is the extreme case, not understanding what the Beis HaMikdash was about. So he says, look at what the Chazal wanted us to remember. Yeah, in the 3 weeks we understand. Okay. When we bench on a weekday, we are told to cover the knife. At benching, either to take it off the table or to cover the knife. Why is that? Why is that? Because there was a time when somebody was so upset of what he had of Bnei Yerushalayim that he hurt himself with a knife. And because of that incident, that person who felt so bad about the Beis HaMikdash not being here, it had those consequences. And the Chazal were worried that we are not on that level, I don't think, but we might come to the same situation. Therefore, remove the knife or cover the knife in benching. So he says, we do know what a Beis HaMikdash is. We do understand what a Beis HaMikdash is. Now, he says as follows. What is Shir? We mentioned about singing. So he tells us the following incident happened with the Lelev Rebbe, Reb David Lelev. He was once crossing into Eir Atika in Yerushalayim, and he noticed an Arab, an old Arab, sitting under a tree. And he was singing a beautiful tune, a beautiful tune. Obviously, it was in Arabic. And he was singing with such enthusiasm, with such feeling, that he was wondering, what on earth is this Shira? Where is it? Where is this desire? What does he want? Reb David didn't recognize this the language. So he asked somebody, a passerby, can you translate this song which this Arab is chanting? What did the Arab say? If this tree would be a cigarette and the leaves would be snuff, good quality snuff. Or would I smoke it? Or would I smoke it? And, it's wonderful. That's what he was saying. So he says, when he saw this, he said, Al Naharis Bovel, in the Zmiris of the Levim, the songs that they sang in the Beis HaMikdash, there was so much enthusiasm for the fact that to our Kodesh Baruch Hu we sing these beautiful tunes. And all these nigunim, and that's what the Melech Bavel wanted, we can't give it to him. They couldn't agree at all. Where does that leave us? We are told that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the Goyim came in and they saw the Kruvim. The Kruvim were the childlike figures which the Torah says that the Yidden had to make, and they were there in the Beis HaMikdash. And what did they notice? They were facing one another, like embracing one another. So the Goyim made fun of it, because they said, is that what the Jewish people do in their holy place? And they made fun of it. But there's a problem. In this particular situation, the Gemara says as follows. Peneim Ishal Achiv is one situation. There's another one. Peneim Labayis. They're not facing each other. So the Gemara says it's a contradiction. And the Gemara answers, Kan bizman sheYisrael oisim ritzon Hashem mokem, Kan bizman sheein Yisrael oisim ritzon Hashem mokem. Which means, those situations, when Klal Yisrael do not follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, then their Peneim Labayis are not facing each other. No. The shaila is, if so, how in this situation of just the time of Churban, and they're facing each other? It's the wrong situation. It should be Peneim Labayis. The answer is as follows. To show Klal Yisroel, I've still got a chibur for you. I've seen two pshatim here. First I'll tell you his pshat, and I saw another pshat as well. On that terrible time of Kurban, don't think that Hashem has abandoned us. Don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is neglecting us and is abandoning us completely. It's Dafka. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, departs from us, he wants to show his love to us. Peneim Ish Al Achiv. I still know that you're Ish Al Achiv, even though I have to give you this punishment. Another pshat I saw as well, that it's all relative, that at the time of the Churban, the Rishoyim were around, and in comparison to them, we are Peneim Ish Al Achiv. We are really good people. Okay? It says that Afilu Rikonim Shibohem Meleim Mitzvahs Karimoy. Even the most empty of Klal Yisrael are full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate. That's a chazal. Which in other words, Kepelach Orima Rab Grakosech. In other words, Avada, we have done wrong. Of course, there's no shaila. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been a churban. But the churban means we have to have hope. And that is the explanation why on Tisha B'Av, the saddest day of the year, a strange thing happens. In the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, we change track a bit. We sit on an ordinary chair. We put on tefillin, which is a pair. We do various things, not everything, but various things, which are in contrast to the churban, to the sadness that we feel. Why? Because that's to show that we should not give up hope. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of our chisreinus. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us. He wants us. We are his people. And you should never forget that. We live in times which we never dreamt of. We are all younger people than the people who were survivors from the war. We never experienced such a situation of anti-Semitism like we have today. We never experienced it. I remember in my youth, where I lived in London, there was a goy who used to take my couple off and used to chepper, But that was about all. I was not frightened, really. I was a young boy. But today, Jew. Why is that? It's possible HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to remember. You're a Yid, you're a Jew, and I haven't abandoned you. So what have we got to do? So as we said, we have to do chesed. And chesed of all types, even the smallest act of chesed, is enough to turn the balance, to change the situation. We, of course, we daven, that's obvious, we daven. We say Tehillim, we learn, we do all the things that we're supposed to. And that encourages us that we are still HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. Lechtech achrei b'amidbar b'eretz lo zrua. Reb Destel says, it was a great Nisoyin at the time. But when you see the greatness of the other side, that gives you strength. I don't want to be like them. Those three people who died in the Shloshes Yimei Afela were Taka people who didn't want to come out of Mitzrayim. Chazal say, it was a Nisoyin. We do want to come out of Mitzrayim. We do want to come out of Golos. We have to earn it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us Siyata Dishmaya, that we should be able to continue to daven, to learn, to do mitzvahs, and then the Via Samashiach will come to Meir of Yomeinu. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to go to the